It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. We're broadcasting from Signal Hill here in Kodiak, Alaska, where it's 55 degrees under overcast skies, and we're looking for a 40% chance of rain, mainly after 1 today. Cloudy skies overnight, too, with a low around 50. Partly sunny skies tomorrow with a high near 62, and those sunny conditions are supposed to continue through the weekend, maybe even till Monday. Coming up on the Midday Report, we have our new update from the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center. We are still in double digits for daily COVID numbers. And Shop the Rock starts today. The Alaska Federation of Natives has postponed their annual convention. And a House committee has proposed a lower dividend than that proposed by the governor. Those stories after this.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The mass evacuation from Afghanistan is down to its final 6 days. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the State Department believes around 6,000 Americans were in Afghanistan when Kabul fell to the Taliban and evacuations began over 10 days ago. A majority of them are now out, but several hundred may still be at risk of being left behind. Blinken says the State Department's been warning Americans for a while to evacuate.
For the remaining roughly 1,000 contacts that we had, who may be Americans seeking to leave Afghanistan, we're aggressively reaching out to them multiple times a day through multiple channels of communication, phone, email, text messaging, to determine whether they still want to leave to get the most up-to-date information and instructions to them for how to do so.
The Pentagon says as many as 10,000 Afghan and American evacuees have come to the Kabul airport today hoping to catch a flight out. NPR's Greg Myrie says flights have been leaving at a rate of several an hour.
Taliban checkpoints appear to be growing more stringent, making it harder for at least some U.S. citizens and at-risk Afghans to reach the airport. But Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says full flights are still leaving regularly, and the military expects them to continue right up until the August 31st deadline set by President Biden.
If you're an evacuee that we can get out, we're going to continue to get you out right up until the end.
He also said that overnight, the military successfully carried out its third helicopter pickup of evacuees who could not safely make it to the airport on their own. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
The drug company Moderna says it has completed its application for full approval of the company's COVID-19 vaccine. NPR's Rob Stein has the story.
Moderna says the company has also asked the Food and Drug Administration to prioritize the agency's review of the request for full approval. The application says the vaccine remains 93% effective after 6 months. The FDA earlier this week gave Pfizer's vaccine full formal approval. Public health experts hope the approvals will give the nation's vaccination campaign a badly needed boost. Rob Stein, NPR News.
Pfizer says if you've gotten its two-dose shot, data show a booster 5 to 8 months later will generate a threefold increase in antibodies against the virus. Today, Johnson & Johnson cited preliminary data as well, showing protection increased roughly 9 times with a follow-up shot to its single-dose vaccine. Well, Delta Airlines is dialing up the pressure on employees to get the COVID-19 shot. Today, it announced it will require unvaccinated staff to pay an additional $200 every month for the health insurance they get through their employer. You're listening to NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
Today, the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center reported 15 new cases of COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island Borough. 11 cases are close contacts of previously reported cases, one case is travel-related, and three cases are classified as community transmission. 120 cases are currently classified as active locally. There are three active cases currently hospitalized in Kodiak. To date, 1,550 cases, 67 hospitalizations, and 5 deaths have been associated with COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island Borough. If you wish to be tested for COVID-19, contact your medical provider, Kodiak Community Health Center, or the Kodiak Area Native Association. Vaccinations are available in Kodiak. Contact your health provider or pharmacist if you would like to be vaccinated. Shop the Rock is returning to Kodiak this week, beginning today and lasting until Saturday. Kodiak Chamber of Commerce Director Jenna Lowmaster explains that this is more than just another sale.
Shop the Rock is coming up on Wednesday, August 25th, all the way through August 28th, which is Saturday. And there'll be sales and specials all around Kodiak to help promoting Shop Local and to welcome all of our Coast Guard families who are new to Kodiak and show them what we all have to offer from a local business standpoint, and also to prepare everybody to get back to school since that's coming up very quickly for everybody.
Lowmaster says Kodiak has stood alongside its small business community throughout the COVID-19 pandemic.
A lot of people have made a very conscious effort within our community and the communities all over the country to really shop local and to help those people within your community thrive.
Deals, hours, and participating businesses are detailed by the Chamber on the Facebook page, Kodiak Shop the Rock. Some select businesses are also engaging in a special celebration of local customers.
So we are having a scavenger hunt that select businesses are participating in. And like I said, we will have this information on Facebook as to who's participating at the moment. But basically, all you need to go in is find their clue that they'll list potentially on their door as you come into the shop or somewhere where visible for people to see. And at that point, the customer will find the item and take a photo of themselves with that item and share it to the Kodiak Shop the Rock Facebook page or their Instagram page, which is also Kodiak Shop the Rock. If you don't have social media and you're not on social media, please send it to the chamber at chamber@kodiak.org. But from there, and on your social media or in your email, just hashtag Kodiak Shop the Rock and what business you're in as well. So that way we, all of those participants in the scavenger hunt will go into a pool where we will then select winners for merchandise from each of the participating businesses for people to win.
A list of participating businesses is in the Chamber's Kodiak Shop the Rock page. It may not be complete, so if your favorite business isn't on it, get a hold of them to make sure. The largest organization of Alaska Native tribes and Native corporations announced yesterday that it will postpone its annual convention to mid-December. In a news release, the Alaska Federation of Natives says health and safety concerns, including an increase in COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations statewide, factored into the decision. The Alaska Federation of Natives plans to hold a December in-person convention in Anchorage with a virtual option. The board will make a final decision on the 2021 convention in mid-October. Exact dates, time, or agenda will be announced at a later date. The Alaska Permanent Fund dividend would be $1,100 under an amendment a committee passed yesterday. The House Finance Committee voted 7-4 to reduce the amount of the PFD from what Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed. He put forward a $2,350 dividend in the bill the committee amended. Committee members say they don't want to draw more than is outlined under a law that limits how much the state spends in permanent fund earnings each year. The $1,100 amount could be changed again as it moves through the legislative process. Nearly half of that money would require the approval of a three-quarters vote of both chambers of the legislature. A similar vote failed in June. The next step for the bill would be a vote by the entire House. The Senate could pass its own version of the bill, which would require the two chambers to work out their differences, or it could pass the House version and send it to the governor's desk. Today is the 10th day of the special session, which could last until September 14th. When a Matsu doctor pleaded with local patients last week to give more serious consideration to the COVID-19 vaccine, he didn't expect much. But then a surprising thing happened. People started listening. Nat Hertz with Alaska Public Media has a story on how Alaskans' views on the vaccine may not be as inflexible as some people think.
Matsu emergency room doctor Tom Quimby has been convinced he can talk about the COVID vaccine until he's blue in the face, and public opinion still won't change. So when Alaska's chief medical officer, Ann Zink, asked him to be part of a forum for parents in his under-vaccinated region last week, he was skeptical.
I was just super frustrated, and Ann asked me to go, and I didn't really want to go because I just told her, I'm like, I think this is all a waste of time.
Quimby joined the online forum just after a tough shift in the emergency room. He described watching unvaccinated COVID-19 patients taking their last breaths and how the only openings in the ICU are because people are dying there. His remarks were published by multiple news outlets, including Alaska Public Media, and shared hundreds of times. Then Quimby started getting messages.
Do you have like anything that like anyone sent you just like on your phone handy that you could like read to me just as an example?
This one's good. I don't know this person. They said, in 53 minutes, my husband is finally receiving his second vaccine. He received one in the end of April along with me. He then decided he wasn't buying into COVID and wouldn't get the second shot. I asked him to listen to your 5-minute speech, as nothing I've shared with him has made him realize the severity of the situation. Your words and genuine nature caused him to say, make me that appointment. I want to thank you for the impact on my family and for all you're doing.
That was far from the only message. Quimby says he heard from maybe a dozen people whose minds he'd changed about the vaccine or who knew someone he'd affected. Zink, the chief medical officer, also works shifts in the Matsu Emergency Department. She thinks people may be becoming more receptive to messages like Quimby's. She says on her last shift, she was also struck by her patient's openness.
I left my shift, my last shift this weekend, with 5 separate patients who I had a conversation about vaccination with, all of whom had not gotten vaccinated and were now interested, and I think will get vaccinated. So I think we're at a different place.
One thing Zink sees as a potential change is the super contagious Delta variant, which is driving a big surge in COVID cases in Alaska and nationwide. She thinks that's creating more openness to the vaccine, particularly among school-aged children and their parents. Like for Quimby, Zink says last week was a tough one for her. But she adds that hearing her patients in the ER coming around to the vaccine helped change her own attitude.
It was incredibly uplifting for me to have those patients have a really meaningful conversation and to be, I mean, that alone, like, made my whole month, like, to have these patients make that decision. And I think we're too easy to write each other off.
Quimby's takeaway was the same. He says hearing from people whose minds he changed about the vaccine has given him new energy to keep spreading the message, even when it's stressing his friendships and generating negative feedback. He also thinks there's a lesson in the way he shared his perspective.
You know, I think we've really tried to go with this neutral data approach. And I wonder if people just need more emotional stories. You know, unfortunately, that's not like the best thing to make decisions in life over rational thought, but it seems like maybe just people need more of this emotional stuff that hits close to home.
While Quimby says he'll keep getting the word out about the vaccine, he says the situation in the emergency room is still grim. Over the weekend, he treated an unvaccinated COVID patient who came to Alaska for a parent's funeral, then had his other parent die from the virus and caught it himself. When Quimby left the hospital last weekend, the man's condition was deteriorating. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Hers.
An Anchor Point man on the loose after allegedly shooting an Alaska State Trooper on Monday has been arrested. The trooper was trying to arrest 60-year-old Brett Herrick at a business in downtown Anchor Point when Herrick opened fire and fled, according to a statement Tuesday from the State Department of Public Safety. Herrick had multiple warrants for his arrest. Troopers spokesperson Austin McDaniel says Herrick was not hit when the trooper returned fire. McDaniel said, bullets hit the trooper in his arm and bulletproof vest. Officers searched for Herrick overnight, warning residents of an armed and dangerous man in the area. The Anchor Point school was closed yesterday as the search continued. Then at 8:40 a.m., McDaniel said, troopers found Herrick in the woods near his Anchor Point home while following up on a tip. Troopers said Herrick was arrested without incident on his four outstanding warrants. He was charged with attempted murder yesterday, as well as first-degree assault, and jailed at the Wildwood pretrial facility in Kenai, according to online records. The trooper who was shot Monday is in fair condition at an Anchorage hospital. Seal meat makes up a good portion of what's in subsistence hunters' freezers in Kotzebue. However, the sea ice the seals haul out on is diminishing, and new research has shown the window to hunt seals is getting shorter as a result. KOTZ's Wesley Early has more.
Anupiaq hunter Cyrus Harris has harvested ugruk, or bearded seal, his whole life. For many people in Kotzebue and the surrounding region, the rotund mammal is a dietary staple.
Ugruk, you know, once we process it into a seal oil form along with and using it as a preservative for the meats, the product itself is very nutritious. You know, we may be processing this stuff in the month of June, but we're thinking ahead of time to prepare to fill our siglocks or our storage with product that's going to run us through the winter.
Harris says the hunting season starts in the spring as the sea ice breaks up in the Kotzebue Sound. But he's noticed a change in the season length.
Once the ice flows break loose and are drifting north, we'd have about a two-week time frame to do that on a regular hunting season. But the shortest I see it happened was like about 3 days.
The stark decline in the season length can be directly linked to the decline in sea ice due to a warming climate. That's the finding of a new collaborative study conducted by the Native Village of Kotzebue and the International Arctic Research Center at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Alex Whiting is the Environmental Program Director for the Native Village of Kotzebue. He's a co-lead author on the study and has been documenting the change in the ugruk hunting season for almost 20 years. He says it's becoming more relevant as the tribe has studied the change in sea ice extent.
Notes that I had been taking since 2002 did show a pattern of shorter ugruk hunting seasons because the ice would disappear a little bit earlier and earlier over time.
That change is translated to an average loss of a day per year for the hunting season since 2002. The study found that the season is ending an average of 26 days earlier than normal. Whiting says the sea ice extent fluctuates.
Some years it resembles a little bit like it used to in the 20th century, but other years, like 2018 and 2019 in particular, by the time the ugruk hunting season began, the ice in Kotzebue Sound, which was, 70 to 80% gone already, looked more like it would at the end of June and beginning of July.
With these changes, Whiting says hunters are having to plan their hunts earlier in the year.
If they wait, all you need is like a week of strong west winds or something, and you could lose out on your opportunity for that year, because the ugruk hunting season only occurs during that short window of May, June.
To date, researchers haven't seen any drastic declines in hunters' ability to land ugruk, but it's largely due to hunters adapting to the shifting ice. Donna Hauser is a marine ecology researcher with the International Arctic Research Center and the other co-lead author on the study. She says normally hunters would have a lot more sea ice to travel out on to harvest ugruk, often meaning packing more gear and gas for their boats. That is changing as the sea ice extent becomes smaller.
Some sea ice that grounded close to Kotzebue within just, 10 miles. And so people could make more frequent, shorter trips, use less gear, less gas, and actually be really successful still. So hunters have really had to adapt to these changing conditions. That has allowed them to, still be successful despite the sea ice loss.
In researching the impacts of sea ice extent on ugruk hunting, Hauser says the process was collaborative from the start. That meant input from more Western academics at the university level, but also the inclusion of village officials, as well as an Indigenous Elder Advisory Council, something Whiting from the tribal office says is a first. Hunters like Harris were added as co-authors of the study. Hauser says the co-production of knowledge was valuable. and the research wouldn't have been as robust without the inclusion of indigenous knowledge from the study's inception.
This is really responding to indigenous sovereignty over the entire research process. It creates a more inclusive and sustainable research process, which hopefully will lead to more equitable outcomes in terms of incorporating those indigenous perspectives in climate change planning and adaptation.
As Hauser and others look forward to further collaboration, hunters like Harris say they're looking ahead to this upcoming winter to see what sea ice it'll bring for spring. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Alaska's salmon catch has blown past predictions. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute provides digital and print marketing materials to the Alaska seafood industry. Find thousands of stunning photos, high-quality video footage, and sales tools at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska salmon catch has blown past predictions, and there's still lots of fishing left to go. By yesterday, nearly 192 million salmon had crossed the Alaska docks, already over a million higher than predicted. Pinks are the bread and butter fish for salmon harvesters, and as hoped, pinks pushed the catch numbers higher. After a slow start, a surge to several regions pushed the humpy harvest towards 128 million, 4 million higher than forecast. Prince William Sound's pink catch of 58 million is more than double expectations and the third highest ever. Southeast fishermen had landed over 36 million pinks, and managers predict catches could reach 41 million. The forecast called for 28 million. Kodiak looks likely to reach its goal of 22 million humpies. Alaska Peninsula pink catches topping 13 million also are well above average. For Alaska sockeyes, the big money fish, catches of more than 54 million so far have exceeded expectations by nearly 8 million reds. Even chum catches had picked up a bit, with most coming from Southeast, Prince William Sound, and the Alaska Peninsula. The chum forecast calls for a total catch of 15.3 million. By yesterday, it was at 8.5 million. For cohos, 1.3 million had been landed as the silver fishery heads towards its peak in mid-September. Chinook catches were creeping up to 200,000 fish, mostly from southeast Alaska. The fleet of over 700 trawlers was getting $6.68 a pound for their 11-pounders on average, according to state managers. Alaska salmon catches are updated daily at Fish and Game's Blue Sheet, along with in-season summaries for all regions. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Kodiak Public Health invites families and students over the age of 12 to a COVID-19 vaccine clinic on Thursday, August 26th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Kodiak High School. The clinic will be in the auditorium and the Pfizer vaccine will be available. The high school is located at 722 Mill Bay Road. Stop by and let's bounce back from COVID-19. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Social Services.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 40. This announcement was issued at 10 a.m. August 24th. There will be a 72-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 24th until 6 p.m. Friday, August 27th in the following areas: the Northwest Kodiak District, the Southwest Afognak section of the Afognak District, the Outer Iakulik section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Cape Alitak, Humpy Deadman, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District, the Sitka-Leedic, Two-Headed, and Seven Rivers sections of the Eastside Kodiak District, and the Northeast Kodiak District. There will be a 54-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Wednesday, August 25th, until 6 p.m. Friday, August 27th, in the following areas: the Alinchak Bay, Cape Igvec, and Wide Bay sections of the Mainline District. The current commercial salmon fishing period in the Duck Bay section of the Afognak District will close at 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 24th, and reopen for 30 hours from noon Thursday, August 26th, until 6 p.m. Friday, August 27th. The current commercial salmon fishing period in the Inner Ugak Bay and Outer Ugak Bay sections of the Eastside Kodiak District will close at 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 24th. As previously announced, closed waters are reduced until further notice at Humpy Cove to the stream terminus of Humpy Creek, stream number 257701 and stream number 257703. Cost recovery fisheries have begun in the Katoy Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishing opportunities in the Duck Bay, Iziwit Bay, Inner Katoy Bay, and Outer Katoy Bay section will be dependent on the ability to meet KRAA cost recovery needs, and all cost recovery information can be obtained by calling 486-6559. Until further notice, in that portion of the Northwest Kodiak and Southwest Kodiak District, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, Chinook salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by Persang Gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are shown on the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. Statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. Recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recordophone at 486-4559.
Good afternoon. Here's your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 25th day of August, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 6:56, almost 7 o'clock. It will set again at 9:25. That will give us 14 hours and 29 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 49 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this date was 39, that was in 2009, and our record high was 78, set in 1959. Currently 57 degrees under overcast skies. And we are looking for cloudy skies for the rest of the day with a high near 59 and calm winds, 40% chance of rain. For tonight, just a 30% chance of rain, mainly before 11 p.m. Cloudy skies tonight, too, with a low around 50. Calm winds will turn to the west after midnight, 5 miles per hour. For tomorrow, partly sunny skies, high near 62, west winds becoming calm in the morning. And for Friday, partly sunny skies, high near 58. Saturday, sunny skies, high near 60. Looking at our tides, we do have an incoming tide. Our next high tide will be at 4:52 this afternoon and be 8.3 feet, followed by a low tide at 10:47 this evening of 0.8 feet. Our high tide for the middle of the night will be at 4:55 a.m. Well, that's morning, I guess. 8.1 feet. And our low tide for tomorrow morning will be at 11:02 a.m. and be 0.4 feet. Over on the west side, and this is Larsen Bay, you have a high tide coming up at 5:16. That will be a 13.9-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:28 p.m. of 1.1 feet. Your next high tide will be at 5:21 a.m. and 13.2 feet will be its height. And that will be followed by a low tide at 11:37 a.m. of 0.4 feet in Larsen Bay. Looking at our marine weather, for inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bays, variable less than 10 right now, seas to 3 feet in Chiniak Bay. For tomorrow, variable less than 10, seas to 3 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, southwest 10 in the morning, becoming variable less than 10, seas to 2 feet. For tomorrow in Marmot Bay, west 15, becoming southwest 10 in the afternoon, seas remaining at 2 feet.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
We do have a special programming note for tonight. The school district will be hosting a live community update. That's happening tonight at 6:30 through 8 p.m. We'll be airing it live here on KMXT. Dr. Ann Zink, Alaska's chief medical officer, will be joined by Dr. Coleman Cutchins, state pharmacist for the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, and they'll be making a short presentation during the update. It's a virtual event that will take place through BlueJeans, a video conferencing app. After a short presentation, the district will address as many of the submitted questions as possible. Again, that will begin at 6:30 p.m. and will be broadcast live here on KMXT.